podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to brand new TAT Spod, proudly sponsored by yourfootcard.com. Brilliant organization company. If you guys like Ultimate Team, if you guys like football, if you guys like just getting like quirky little football gifts, then this is definitely the place you need to look at for Christmas. And as you can see on the screen, we usually have a discount code for 15% off. But if you actually use Black Friday, you get 30% off at the minute. You can customize any card. If there's any City fans in here, you can get any City player. I would say get City Legends, but you'd probably only be going back 4 or 5 years. So I'm not sure how many of those there is. But yeah, make sure you check it out. Take advantage of the discount code. And yeah. Absolutely massive shout out to you guys, but the City fan is very, very busy, man. He is on about a million trips talking about this game, because let's be honest, Mike, it is City's biggest game of the season as well, isn't it, mate?
Oh, bro, it's the biggest. It is probably up there now with one of the biggest games on the planet. Anytime it comes around, it is up there now, and that has been built off the back of both teams being as successful as they are, challenging each other the way they do. There's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. When Liverpool come to town, or when City come to town, it is an occasion. I think it'll be an occasion. I just hate that they've given it a 12:30 kickoff after the international break. The game deserves better than that. Listen, put everything to the side, because listen, we've been getting 12:30 kickoffs all the time at the moment. That's a whole different subject. But this quality of game should not be a 12:30 kickoff. It should be a 4 o'clock on a Sunday. That is the time slot for this game. It's the last game of the weekend. Maybe a Monday night football could be funny, but it should not be a 12:30. It should not be, should it?
Just before we get into the comments, yeah, I agree with that. I did read something that apparently, I could be wrong, but this is all speculation. 12:30 is the time where like all the other countries would be able to watch as well. So like
this is true. Time. Yeah.
So this is true. Crap, but for them, when they're looking at an audience perspective, it makes sense, but obviously they need to think about the players and the team first and foremost. Let's get through some comments then as we wait for that to arrive. N says, nice one, bro. Let's get a big win for Liverpool incoming. Absolutely, we definitely need it, mate. It's been 8 years.
Oh, shout out these City fans turning up in here. Can I pull out a comment? Can you pull out Dom Dewsbury?
We'll get every single comment, don't you worry. Pranav says corner taken quickly. I mean, we need to run that back. It's the wrong team, but why not? Douglas says, big up, Daps. Come on, City. Daps is bringing the people in, man.
Yeah,
if he brings the energy that he's bringing these people in, then
I love it.
Super City says, big win and coming for the treble winners. 5-1 City. Yeah, thanks for the reminder, mate. Hope you're good, Super City. DeAndre says, big up TAT. Bit laggy. Hopefully, it's all good now. It's just one of them. It's that time of night where everyone is in the house, everyone's streaming, everyone's doing all sorts of nonsense. I try to tell them to stop, but nobody listens to me. Douglas says, tons of respect
for
Man City. Yeah, you know, that's nice to hear, because we don't always hear the nicest of things from our opposition fans, to say.
Bro, we're the away fans on our own pod. That's crazy. Like,
I know. Super City says, I hope your defense is like first English club to do a league and European double. We have legends. Is that
never said you didn't?
No, I did say that if they wanted to get legends on their cards, they'd have to go back only 4 years.
Oh, that's where that come from. Got you.
Anyway, guys, we'll get into your comments as we go along. But the man, the myth, the legend, Daps is in the building.
How I'm just saluting them all. On City Extra, I just said, listen, yeah, get over there, because We're going into a Scouse echo chamber. we'll be hearing about just how amazing these bridesmaids are.
And I swear.
We just have to, you know. So thank you to everyone that followed me over here. Make sure you smash a like, subscribe, and keep the trolling. Not just today. Every time you see him live, jump on there. Just remind them that they are the maids of honor.
Hey, absolutely. Come on now. I will say, you've got your Christmas tree up in November.
It's been up for 10 days.
Really? Whose decision was that? Was that your decision?
I'm going to tell you it's my daughter's, but...
Right.
My daughter's very clever. She's 8 now. And last year, I put her to bed on the night before the 1st of December. And when she woke up, she ran downstairs and was like, Daddy, the elves have put decorations up in every single room and outside. And I'm thinking, am I doing this for you or are you doing this for me now? I don't know. I love Christmas. Oh, I love Christmas. I do. I love it. It makes me happy. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. Just before we carry on, Glenn says, I never even heard of this channel. Oh, so big up City Extra.
What's going on, Glenn? Stick around.
He's just talk about this one's coming in from City Extra. Big up that sense. Yeah, no, if you don't know TAT, basically, first and foremost, we are just well, not just, but we are news aggregation. That's the main thing we do on Twitter.
What's
we
that?
Have like, we just source Liverpool transfer news and stuff, okay. Really.
Yeah, and you do Ben, but, Ben, you do great work, by the way. I'm a bit on Twitter. I mean, listen, you entertain me because you share all this great, you know, Liverpool transfer news, which I'm sure you would definitely sharing plenty about Bellingham, so thank you for that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of advanced tweet searches in the last 6 months.
Ben, can I cut across? I joined TAT after the Bellingham stuff, right? I take zero responsibility for the amount of Bellingham prop that we put out, okay?
Yeah. But Ben, you are a good person and you do some great stuff as well, especially the support of Palestine and everything you're doing over there, so salute on that, man. Massively
appreciate that, mate. But yeah, we're just trying to start out on YouTube. Obviously, we had the podcast, it was just primarily on audio platforms, but we've got 2.7k in a year. So, any support, guys, would be massively appreciated. Subscribe, like the stream, do whatever. And I have some breaking news to announce. This is actually our first ever super chat. Professional idiot.
He's over here now, is he? Yes, professional idiot.
This is our first ever super chat. So you've just made history, mate.
And we've just been talking about professional idiots. So once upon a time, LB, who used to be on City Extra, apparently called him idiot and removed the professional idiot. And he wasn't happy because, like, he's professional at it. He is the best idiot you will ever meet.
WW to professional idiot, man. You're my favorite professional idiot.
Absolutely. Big up Daps, up the Sky Blues and City Action. Let me just say as well, if anybody does send in these, you don't have to, but it's always welcome. It's not going in mine and Mike's pocket and do whatever. Every single penny gets put back into the pod to, well, hopefully upgrade the
That's what we did for 2 years, man. That's what we did for two years. Yeah. We got monetized in May 2021. And we only actually started taking money for ourselves from July 2023.
Wow.
But when I say that, I mean, this is like, I don't know if I am taking money because I've got, my house is basically a studio. I pay a lot on electronics and on electricity and everything else. And the amount, do you know one thing that I think people never understand? The graft that you have to do for the first, before all of that, before you get to a point where you're making, exactly. Full-time jobs. I mean, you're so blessed if you're able to stop doing your job and just do it. I mean, that's a blessing. But at the same time, it is a dream. But I'll be honest, there is a lot of stress that come with this. Like all of a sudden, a loss. If you're a YouTube channel or you content creator and you're out there, I mean, I've had some stinkers, right?
Because
you go on and you get, you know, you'll go on with a panel and you have people telling you how City are going to have this done to them, that done to them, this done to them. And it's like, hold on. The most recent one, Chelsea telling me they're going to do this, do that, do this, do that. So I'm like, hold on. You haven't scored against us in the last six games. You're not clinical.
I love it. Chelsea
smoke. You're not clinical, right? And I'm saying that thinking, well, I'm doing simple maths and that's telling me they're not clinical. They haven't won against City or scored a goal against City in six games. Guess what? They go and score four against us, right? And it's like, brilliant. Now I'm being clipped up for that. And even last season, I've got a real, real respect for Liverpool. Obviously, same, I know you guys will for us. And I've just been, me and City Extra were just really going into the reasons why and why City and Liverpool is different to not only City and Arsenal last season, but it's also for me, it's different. I honestly believe, and I'm here to back up this argument, that City Liverpool over the last few years has got far more, last six, 7 years, it's got far, far more than Man United and Arsenal has, right?
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. I think, sorry to cut across you there, man. I think you made a really good point that I want to just kind of interject for you, and then you can take it and run with it. But I think I've seen a lot of Arsenal fans, and not the average Arsenal fan, just people that pipe up on social media, you know what I mean? kind of going at the idea that Arsenal City were the new two, but I feel like every City fan and every Liverpool fan knew that was it wasn't ever the case, right? It was just never ever really up there, even for the title challenge.
Well, the thing is, there's so many reasons. Before we even talk on the Arsenal-Man United one, right, if we talk on City-Arsenal, City-Arsenal was over 3 games before the end of the season, right? And furthermore, they then didn't have any other competitions to talk about, right? They had nothing. We beat them in all 3 games, and they handed us the title 3 games before the end. Liverpool, when we've been in title races with you, we've had to have the Gundogan moment. We've had to win our last game, right? But then, even if you look at it, now, yes, we don't need to do the trophy count. We know that City have won more trophies than Liverpool in recent years, since this rivalry has been going on. But even if you look at the seasons where City have won the league, like the first time we had a bit of a title race, we won the league, but you knocked out the Champions League and you won the Champions League. Right. So there's that. And then there's even the season, the Gundogan moment. Yes, you knocked out in the semi-final of the FA Cup. Right. So there's always, Liverpool grabbed some sort of bragging rights, or even I'm pretty certain the season you won the league. I was trying to work this out. I reckon we probably beat you in the Carabao Cup that season or something. The season you did win the league, that we still got some sort of bragging rights in that season, that there always seems to be a bragging right there. And then just to compare it now, if we move on, that's why ultimately we can go, we know that Liverpool will go toe to toe. And another great thing is I look at Arsenal. Yes, we lost to them for the first time at the Emirates this season, but I'm telling you now, they are not coming to the Etihad and getting any points, right? They don't do it. They haven't. Whereas again, your record at the Etihad is not great. However, when you come to the Etihad, you can't tell me there hasn't been absolute fucking classics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the time we beat you 5-0, first half, you were great until Mane got sent off. But you weren't good. You were in it. I can't tell you a time that Arsenal have come to the Etihad and been in the game. They're not in the game. Mm-hmm. And now, then to move this on to comparing it to Arsenal and Man United in their prime, right? Arsenal and Man United in their prime, I'm sorry, it wasn't a toe-to-toe. Man United completely fucking dominated Arsenal, Arsenal won a couple of leagues. They never retained it. And furthermore, the one thing Liverpool fans can say is, we went and did it in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. Arsenal don't have that to say to Manchester United. They don't. Like, whereas Liverpool can say, even in the time where, yes, City were dominating it in the league, we went and grabbed the Champions League. Arsenal haven't grabbed that. Like, the levels, for me personally, the levels of this, and then we talk about the points.
The points, oh my goodness. The point tallies that were racked up were different. I think the only comparable might not be the right word. I think Chelsea United, when you had Mourinho and you had Ancelotti and Ferguson, right? That's when I really looked at a title rivalry, because Chelsea could go on a run of two, then United could go on a run of two. No one else could get near them. I think that's kind of the era we were in, barring last season with Liverpool's drop-off, where you had these two teams at the top of the tree, then you had the rest. And that's what it was. Yeah. And I think there is potential for that to be reignited this season. Yeah. Now, for it to reignite this season, we need a bit of luck, because we're a younger side. I think, I'm not sure what you need. I will get into this, because I've watched a lot of City out of envy.
I don't. Do you know the maddest thing is with Liverpool that I don't watch much Liverpool.
And mate, you've been on 3 PM like 5 times this season.
There's a few reasons. Firstly, I'm generally at City games anyway, so I don't get to. But then secondly, I'll be honest with you. When Liverpool have been at their best, it's the regular thing that happens on a Saturday is Liverpool go 1-0 down, right? And everyone goes, and straight away in a WhatsApp group, you'll say, do you reckon can hold, whoever you're playing, can hold on? And this was, I always remember, I think Crystal Palace was one where there were two goals up or something. Yeah. So many times it happens. I'm like, no. And you've jinxed it by saying that as well. Liverpool will come back. They will. And I don't want to watch my rivals win. City have just won. Why would I want to then watch my rivals win? I don't want to watch it.
But, it's not about watching. Sorry,
I'd say is, back to the Arsenal point, is with Arsenal, I know that they're not going to get anything at the Etihad, right? Whereas this game in particular, I look at Anfield and go, do you know what? I'm happy with the point there. It's a bit like when we played Real Madrid last season at the Bernabeu. Happy with the draw. Bring it back to the Etihad, we'll win, right?
Right.
Anfield, I'm looking at it going, 1 point, like we beat you in COVID season when ultimately the league was over anyway. It was still a great win, and it was very nice because it stopped you from doing some things you wanted to achieve. But right. I look at Anfield and I go, okay, we're not gonna. It's one of them ones like Tottenham. I don't think we're gonna get 3 points. So this weekend's massive because if we don't get 3 points this weekend, we're then looking at Liverpool going, hold on, oh fuck Spurs. But I'm more looking at Liverpool thinking Liverpool potentially this season could gain 6 points on us. This weekend it's important for you, but it's also important for us because that back end of the season where we have to go Anfield, it's a big deal.
Ben, sorry, you go right ahead, Ben, go on.
No, sorry, I was just going to come into Daps there and just ask because I know he mentioned that he's not really watched Liverpool that much. And I guess from a Liverpool
what a great example that was. Bloody hell.
Do you know what? Actually, then I watched Tottenham game, of course. Again, not a great example. I've watched you a few times thinking about it. I watched you against Chelsea.
You watched all the games we played badly in. That's what
and
I'm
then,
hearing.
And then second half against Newcastle.
Okay, there you go. So that's a good example.
What my point is like for the Liverpool fans that are the other way, so that maybe haven't watched too many City games, because I'm the same as you, Daps. I'm like, you know what, when City are just going through that sort of phase where they're just grinding out wins, I can't be bothered to watch that.
They're not in that phase right now, which is why I
What would you say, and from the back of obviously a treble winning season last year, and I'm not going to congratulate you on that, by the way, on the back of that, the thumbnail speaks for itself. How would you say you've been this season, Daps? Obviously, we can look at the Premier League table, and it's all well and good looking at that, seeing, oh, City are top of the league, 12 games, 28 points, nine wins, one draw, two losses. Yeah, but so, from the performance perspective, has there been... Because I know a lot of people, I don't know if you've seen this, but from my timeline, it is all Liverpool fans, a few other fans, but a lot of people seem to think that there's this narrative that you haven't been as good. And I guess if that is true, that's inevitable.
Okay, so... there's this thing that happens every single season, right?
Yeah.
And every single season, what people do is they compare Manchester City between August and January with Manchester City previous season between February and May. And they go, oh, they're not looking as good as they did last season. Yeah. I even remember in January and February last season, because we actually started late last season. We didn't start in January. We had a bad January, really bad January, right? February... even we started off February, I think we drew to Forest when we were 1-0 up at Forest. Then we drew with Leipzig away. And I remember at that game, I said, this is not good enough. Like, if we want to win the league, we can't be, you know, yes, we'll take them to the Etihad and we'll beat them, but we can't be putting out performances like that. But everyone compares Manchester City. If I'm being honest, so far this season, we've had, you know, all right, the Arsenal game, Pep got it wrong. Pep's come out and said it himself. The selection was wrong. I think Chelsea game, I think also Pep got it wrong. Selection was wrong. Now, this season, everyone's getting injuries. Injuries have impacted City massively. And you've got to remember, we had a shorter pre-season than everyone else because of the FA Cup, then the Champions League. Right. Then we were back early for the Community Shield. Then we also had to fly over to Athens and play a game and fly back to Newcastle. The game against Newcastle at home, sensational performance. Obviously, but we've had the Wolves game without Rodri. That's highlighted something to us. It is a thing. Manchester City without one of the best players in the world aren't as good. And
would you believe?
That's you're not as good without Rodri. No shit, Sherlock. Again, you look at this, you look at the season that Liverpool won the league. City were playing Fernandinho as a centre-back, not as a DM because of injuries. Then the season that Liverpool took the league off of City.
Yeah.
Sorry, the season that City took the league back off of, you have Fabinho playing. The minute you don't have a world-class DM, right, it changes everything. If Arsenal lose Declan Rice... right. And that's the truth of it. So, but it is something that we shouldn't make excuses about. Like, it's fine to say, do you know what? Rodri's a big player and we need Rodri. For me, Rodri should have been in the nominations for the Ballon d'Or, as he was, but City should have been pushing that agenda, not the Haaland agenda for me. Like Rodri should have been, easily. Goals in the Champions League, Champions League final goal in the quarters against Bayern. Then also what he did for Spain a couple of days after, he flew off and like, for me, but DMs never get that praise. But we've looked vulnerable when we haven't had key players there. But as far as this time of the season, if I compare this point of the season to most seasons, apart from the 100-point season, we're probably performing as well as, to be honest with you.
I agree. It always feels from us looking in, it always feels like if City are in the mix up until like sort of February, then it's not looking good because once they hit that sort of February time where they just grind out those results, then they're going to go on to win the league. You need City to be like four, maybe 5 points behind to win
maybe
the league.
Maybe this is for sake of debate, Ben Daps. Maybe this is sake of debate. But I'll stand on my point before because when I say I watch City, I don't watch it just to watch you win, by the way, but unfortunately it happens weekly. Yeah. I watch it just because I love Pep Guardiola and what he's done for football. I think he's one of the best managers of all time. So it's hard for me to not enjoy that as just a football fan. I have to kind of sometimes forget that I'm watching City for it, but it is what it is. But I don't know what it is. I could be completely off and this could be Liverpool visors on it, without a doubt. And yeah, Rodri, without a doubt, is a huge miss. You can never deny that.
Of course.
There just feels for me like there's something missing this season. I can't put my finger on it.
Oh, it's,
and I really can't.
Go on. Right. So if you look at it, last season.
Yeah.
Right. So when it got to the business end, we had a pretty solid back four. We had Ake, Diaz, Akanji, Stones, Walker and Stones. But Stones' role was to come in and sit alongside Rodri. Almost playing in midfield, right? Then you had Gundogan, who's a midfielder, right? Then you had Kevin De Bruyne, who's a midfielder. Then you had Jack Grealish, who last season was not playing as a winger like Doku. He was playing as a winger that was all about ball possession, right? And bringing the midfielders back into, dragging players out of position and then bringing the midfielders back into play, right? So it was strongly around the system. And yes, Manchester City are a system-based team. It's fine, right?
Nothing wrong with that,
This season, you look at Stones has been injured most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Bernardo was even injured at the start of the season.
Yeah, De Bruyne's
gone. Gundogan's gone. And Grealish has hardly been starting. Our system, what our system was based around, this midfield dominance, you've pretty much taken the whole midfield out. Now, De Bruyne's got to come back. Stones got to come back.
Well, yeah,
I mean, Mahrez was a bit more on the wing, but that is relevant as well. That
relevant in losing.
We are going through transition. Vardy's come in and, Ake hasn't been playing as much. Vardiol's playing there. Diaz has had an injury. We're a different team this season. And Pep's tinkering like he did at the start of last season. I mean, that's why Arteta's doing it. Arteta's realised you can't tinker back end of the season when the games count. You have to tinker at the start. And we are a different team. We're not looking as fluid. We've had Vardiol, I think, is going below the radar, by the way. He's looking really, really good down the left. But we're not there yet. We're still a work in progress because when De Bruyne comes back in, I think we'll know our best 11. But at the moment, it's kind of...
When's he due back?
It's like horses for courses, I guess.
We don't want to rush him back. I think he's already back in training.
Okay.
But for me... I ain't rushing De Bruyne back at all.
I looked at international duty, Daps. You should be panicking. Your entire squad has came back from international duty injured. I'd be very worried, no?
Yeah, of course they're injured. Look, Arteta... that's
116 charges.
Give us more. But no, what Arteta's done this. I've always thought this, right? You see in press conferences where managers... I've always thought, why do managers give so much information away in press conferences? If they don't have to. Why do they give other managers? Yeah, he's fit. I'd be going in there saying, yeah, whole team's injured, right? And that's what Arteta's been doing. Arteta's been dropping all sorts saying this. But the ones that I do know, Stones won't be fit and Kovacic won't be fit, right? And the two game, start of the season, we looked good. We had Rodri and Kovacic sat next to him, right? Mm-hmm. Stones came back, we looked good. Rodri, with Stones playing as a defender but coming in and sitting next to him. The other times, we've tried it with kind of like Akanji doing a role of coming in. Akanji's been, for 14 million, he's been a great, great signing. But Stones can do that role because he's been doing it for years, right?
Kovacic, absolutely brilliant.
Kovacic has been doing that role for years. Akanji is a centre-back that Pep's asking to do that role. He's not going to do it to the same level. And I honestly think against Chelsea, we didn't have that control. Then again, we didn't have Grealish on the pitch. He allows a level of control. And this is why I look at this game against Liverpool and I really think we need to learn from that. For me, I'm starting Grealish all day long, right? I'm starting Rico Lewis because Rico Lewis can do that job next to Rodri. I'm not trying to play someone that doesn't know how to play that role, right? Because this is Liverpool. This isn't fucking Bournemouth, okay? This is Liverpool. And even more so, if we give the ball to Bournemouth, well, what are they going to do, right? If we give the ball to Liverpool, that's where you lot come alive. That's where you lot can hit us on the counter. And we have to make sure we make it few and far between that you have the ball. Now, the reason I said Grealish is firstly, because I do think he brings a level of control. Secondly, we have to double up on Salah at times. We have to. Grealish can double up on Salah. Doku's not there yet, right? He won't do that. Thirdly, that if we play Grealish, I believe Klopp will think we're going to play the way we played last season, which is Grealish starts off wide, but when he gets the ball, he kind of cuts inside, brings players out of position, cuts inside, lays the ball off. But if you go back and look at the game against Manchester United, he cut inside like he was about to lay the ball off to a midfielder. But Bernardo Silva, instead of saying central, said, no, I'm turning into a winger now. Overlapped him, went down the wing. And people haven't really clocked on yet to this new way of playing with Grealish and Bernardo Silva overlapping him. And I think we need to make the most of that at the moment. And then when the game gets stretched, when Trent gets tired, when maybe Konate gets tried, I heard McAllister's injured. Is that true?
I don't think
no.
So.
No, right. No. McAllister gets tired. We bring on Doku and let Doku go at you in the last 30 minutes. But for me, it's we can't
he's
allow
scary,
you.
Yeah.
But I think we have to respect Liverpool and respect what Liverpool can do on the counter and just the first 30 minutes, slow the game down, play the City way. Don't go back to playing don't let Liverpool play the way Liverpool want to play, like we let Chelsea play how they wanted to play. Because you're Liverpool ultimately.
Exactly. And I think obviously like some teams have done that and sort of played the game into our hands. I remember it's a completely different scenario, but the one where Arsenal came and they were 2-0 up and they were cruising and then Arteta just sort of winding up the fans for stupid reasons.
Don't do that, bro, at Anfield. Never do that. Fucking that's the Newcastle thing. Bro, against Newcastle. Oh shit, my TV's gonna turn off 1 second. Well, my third stream in a row. But against Newcastle.
Yeah, go on.
You carry on. I need to find my controller.
I was going to say, as Daps tries to turn his telly off, Professional Idiot did become a member as well after that super chat. So thank you to you, mate. That's amazing support from yourself. So everyone here appreciates all of that. My next question to you, Daps, I guess you've already spoken about it a bit, but obviously we cast our mind back to last season. I'd say unlucky and unfortunate enough to be there, but I'll never say that.
Sorry, give me 1 second because my TV is going to turn off in any second.
This question as well, so
I'll answer it. It's absolutely hilarious watching Daps like fucking weave. Well,
go on. So obviously last season we was 4-1 down there. We went 1-0 up. And then I think we should have gone 2-0 up. I don't know what's going on there, bro.
keep going, man. Wait, I'm not the only one who heard that. I'm not.
Oh my god. What is this, bro?
Keep going. But, we're good.
I can't. I don't even know what I was gonna say, Mike.
Four one down at the end.
4-1 up. We wish we were 4-1 up, mate. We went 1-0 up.
There was
an attack straight after it. And if we had got the final pass right, we would have gone 2-0 up. But we didn't. We got the pass wrong. We ended up getting battered. So I can't even think straight, bro. Stop laughing. Sorry, go on.
Do you know what? You actually missed. I fucking fell over as well.
Yeah, we
heard a noise, bro. And that's why we're laughing.
Bro, I've got this massive long wire.
I thought you shit your pants down.
Bro, I fell over. I fell on, I'm surprised I didn't lose network. Anyway.
Oh, bro.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, so we're just going back to last season, mate. I was going to ask Mike and then bring you back into it. So you have a break. You have 2 minutes there, mate. Have a swig and get your whatever. But Mike, how is this game going to be different? How do we have to come into this game? Because this is Man City on the back of a treble. Rejuvenated squad. Obviously, they've got some amazing young players in there now. We've just spoken about Doku briefly, and somebody has been asking Daps, so we'll get Daps in on that one in a moment. But how do we play this game? It's the impossible question, I guess, isn't it? How the hell do you go to the Etihad and get a result in the Premier League after 8 years of not winning?
8 years, been 8 years, my God.
8 years. Bobby Firmino and Coutinho show. That's the last one we've got.
Listen, we have to play risky. We have to. It's risk-reward when you play City. I think if you don't risk it at City, they will walk over you. I think the best performances I've ever seen against City, not just including ourselves, including anyone. Come on, Rachel.
I wish. I will do. After drinking this, I'll need another one, to be fair.
Listen, it's a case of risk-reward. I think the best performances I've seen against City or where I've seen a Guardiola side in general have their back up against the wall has been when people play risk-reward against them. You've got to press high. You can't let players like Rodri, like Bernardo Silva, even their fullbacks have time on the ball. The way they play their fullbacks, they're some of the most creative players in the squad. Or you can't allow the time. So we have to be on top of our game when it comes to pressing. It's going to be very interesting to see because I feel like we're going to start Nunes, which I'm not against, but it's the job. The best performance we ever put on against City was when Bobby Firmino put in a perfect display and he played the false nine effortlessly. And not only when you play that role in such a way, you pull out the centre-backs, but you also draw away the six. And that is what he was able to do. When he was doing that, that's when we had, Gini and Hendo weren't exactly the most creative, but they had the space to push up, which allowed then our wingers to sort of invert, and then you go in behind the fullback. And I think John Stones ended up getting rinsed by Firmino that year. Now we don't have that from our midfielders. Our midfielders play a different role. Our midfield is now where the creativity will come from, which is going to be interesting because I think if we play Nunes, you've got to sacrifice a player for Rodri off the ball. I think you have to at times because he's that dangerous a player. And it's whether we're going to do that because I've never really seen us go, right, one player on him, go. How we play Trent is also going to be crucial. Trent is going to start the game. You're talking about Bernardo Silva on the overlap there. You have Trent inverting into a space which has always this season stretched our right centre-back, whether it be Konate, Mata or Gomez. It's always been my criticism with the system. They have two positions they've got to cover. It's okay. So it's similar to Daps' expression. It's okay when you're playing Bournemouth. What are they going to do? But when you're playing City... respect to Bournemouth. Christ, we lost to them last year. But
We've lost to some stinkers as well. It's fine.
It is what it is. But I think when it happens, because we will lose a ball at one point in midfield, both sides will. And the game's won or lost in how the team react in that moment. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be a tough game. I'll take a point at the Etihad every day of the week. Bite your hand off for it right now. A point at the Etihad's 3 points anywhere else. You know what I mean? So it's a huge, huge, huge game for both sides. So for me, points will go.
I think you're spot on with that. And that's the thing. It is small margins. With this one, I think, look, I've seen someone say Van Dijk's got Haaland's cards. I don't think there's a big enough sample size on that, right, at all. They haven't played against each other because I'm pretty certain. Yeah, in fact, at the Etihad last season, Haaland didn't play.
Yeah, I think there's been a couple of internationals as well, and I know quite really just a bit of banter in it. Yeah.
100%. Oh, I'm not saying take away the banter. Keep it coming.
Oh, yeah, no. 100%, but, I just say, yeah,
a million percent keep it coming. But for me, even if we were to, I think this is a key, is Haaland, even in the games where, and firstly, if you watch City, Haaland actually does do more than people say, right? He doesn't just score goals, right? There's a reason why last season, assist-wise, he got more assists than Kane last season, but people want to say how Kane offers so much more than goals. Well, Haaland got more assists than him last season, but people don't want to have those conversations. Even if we want to say Haaland is just an occupier, when he's not scoring, he's just occupying. The one thing you do know is he will occupy Van Dijk on Saturday because you have to, because you give Haaland 1 millisecond, his first burst of pace and his reach is insane, right? So Van Dijk, and that's where then we need to go, right? So we need to give the other players something to think about, right? Kanate, whether it be Grealish, whether it be Bernardo down the right, whether it be Foden, whether it be Alvarez, we need to give your other players, because ultimately, I'm going to be honest, Robertson, for me, top five Premier League left-backs of all time, easy. Going forwards, insane. Backwards, insane. As a leader, quality. As a shithouse against us, quality.
Absolutely.
Last season, Fabinho got, you know, Fabinho's unreal, but you know he's burnt out, right? Yep. Okay, so is it not fair to say that Robertson might also be burnt out because he's played so damn much in a position where it's sprinting backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, right?
He's injured.
And I think, no, I know that now, but even last season, he wasn't great. I think this could be good for him because he could come back a better player because I think he needed a rest because he's been non-stop and he's been unreal. And I think Scotland not enough is being said. All the time. And I think when you look at Liverpool, I think people are probably aren't even talking enough about how much you're missing Robertson at the moment. Now, Shimakas has come in and is doing an okay job, but he's not Robertson, right? I'm not going into this game thinking, fucking hell, Robertson's going to give us a hard day. Shimakas is going to give us a hard day. So
he'll give Liverpool fans a hard day, mate. We're worried.
so I think ultimately, do you know what? Even if we forfeit and go, we don't know. In the form Van Dijk's in, he might get the better of Haaland this game, but he's definitely going to have to spend his day tracking Haaland left, right and centre, which then goes, okay, so now we've got Kanate, we've got Shimakas and we've got Trent potentially dropping back. Target all of them, right? I think Kanate can be a little bit clumsy. Let's get him on a card early doors, right? Whether it be Grealish or Doku, run him, get him on a card. Grealish is sensational at drawing fouls out of people. Foden popping up in the pockets or Alvarez popping up in the pockets, Bernardo popping up in the pockets. We need to use the fact that Van Dijk is going to be occupied and put it on every other one of your defenders. Because the truth is, we have played a better front three than your current front three. And I'm not knocking your front three. I'm a fan of Diaz. I'm a big fan of Salah. Not fan, but you know what I mean. And I also actually think, however much Nunes, I'll banter him, because for the sake of bantering, he's the type of player that I would never rule out scoring against City at all, right? Yeah. So, but we've played against Bobby, Salah.
Yeah.
And we've played against a Liverpool with a younger Robertson, Van Dijk, a younger Matip, Trent on absolute flames with a prime Fabinho in front of them. You don't have a prime Fabinho in front of them as well. So all of a sudden, it's like, right, we can get at you. That's why we have to make sure we keep the ball and when we can get at you. But just we have to remember what you can do on the counters because your counters always have been and always will be ferocious. Like, you're the team that will go toe-to-toe with us. You will. You're like, you don't really change the way you play. This is how we play. And we're like, this is how we play. And let's see what happens. And
That's also been a bit of a downfall to us, though, as well, I think, because when we come against teams that aren't going to have bought the possession and, you know, and just sit back, we, like you say, we don't change the way we play. So obviously looking at Luton Town and teams like that, we struggle against them more often than not. But I think this game coming up is literally just, to me, it's just the midfield. It's just a midfield battle. And like you say, Dubs, we don't have a prime Fabinho or anywhere near close to him. We've been using McAllister there more often than not this season. And
would you have kept
anybody
him?
That's watched... Say again, Fabinho. No, I think it was the right time
for one more season.
Hindsight, if I knew what was coming after, I probably would have because I wouldn't have sold him to go. And
I do think it's coming of it's getting to that time, but I just think him and Henderson, so important. Like, I what they've brought Liverpool over the years, just the know how. Just even, and you know what? I'm going to throw a third name in there. Milner as well. All three of them, right? Three players that have that know-how. And I just think maybe keeping him for one more season until you got someone else in might have been a good idea.
I think the only reason that wouldn't have worked, the only name there that would have been it, we would have been able to keep for another season would have been Milner. Because Henderson and Fabinho would not have accepted being a squad player.
Oh, right, okay.
And I think that's be all and end all of it. And
Henderson wouldn't have.
Henderson, Henderson definitely would love. I know. Tell me about it.
As your captain,
You should have seen his interview since he gone Saudi.
If we we kept Fabinho, he wouldn't have been a squad player. Henderson 100% would have.
No,
Fabinho. What I was saying is I was happy to sell Fabinho for 40 million 100% because I think he's nowhere near. Yeah, he's never going to get to that class. Yeah. However, I always said that we needed to replace him with whether it was Lavia or Caicedo, whoever. We didn't get him. Obviously, we got Endo, but I'm backing him, and I will continue to back him. But like, it is a big loss. And tomorrow, it's going to be games like that where it is Alexis McAllister in the end because he's not going to throw Endo in that game. I'm 100%. Sorry, I keep saying tomorrow. I think it's Friday and Saturday. Is going to, you know, we know how fine these margins can be. Daps, we know it more than any other club.
Do you know, that's one where, especially when I look at McAllister, I think McAllister, by the way, was such a good signing. But you look at it and you think, I feel for him a little bit because this isn't the role he wants to play. This isn't the role that he cooks in, right? Yeah. He's doing a job at the moment. And do you know what? In a year's time, actually, if you do go and get a six in the summer or in January, a good quality six, it might make McAllister a better player for the fact that he now has really got to grips with, because he's had to get to grips with knowing the six role. Because I think that's something Klopp's great at. He's great at changing the way players play and adding a new tool to a player's skill set. So, but I think at the moment, this is where I look at Liverpool and I think, I know Liverpool, right? And the Newcastle game is a perfect example of it. Do not rattle Liverpool, right? Because I've witnessed the growth of Pep at Anfield, right? Where Pep has realised... There's games sometimes at Anfield where City will, in the first 30 minutes, will win the ball, we'll start going forwards, and then we'll just put our foot on the ball, turn around and play it backwards. Because we know, nullify Anfield. Don't start a war with the Liverpool crowd, right? Mm-hmm. Arsenal last season, they didn't learn. Like, what they did there was... We actually did it last season. Last season, Pep, I think we didn't get a decision. He kicked off.
It was about the Haaland pen. Yeah.
Anything Liverpool fans have a reason to fight for, they will fight. And they go up a decibel. Mm. And I think it happened at Newcastle. When Liverpool have to fight, they fight, right? And that's something... It's a bit different at the Etihad because, you know, it's away from home.
Yeah.
But I know that of you. I know going forward, Liverpool, you've got Mo Salah. Like, that's it. That's all I have to say. Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, the last 10 years, realistically. I know neither of them have been about for quite 10 years. But
roughly, yeah.
They have set the bar that everyone wants to try and hit. There's no one close to those two. Like, there's no one. And you could probably say, do you know what? As defenders, Van Dijk's had a good 10 years. And then you look at, but overall, consistently, season in, season out, even in City's bad seasons, De Bruyne's still there. In your bad seasons, Salah is still doing numbers, right?
Still getting minimum 20.
Like, their level, they've set the levels that anyone in the next year of the Premier League want to try and achieve. But going forward, we know what you can do. There's just question marks on this Liverpool team at the moment. And that's where we need to expose them. It's the question marks. It's the, how good is Shimakas? Is he really good enough to replace Robertson? Trent, is Trent really ready to, you know, invert and sit in that role? Because he hasn't really been tested in that role enough yet. We wanted tomorrow, for me, or Saturday, I want to push Trent back to being a right back. I want to make Trent have to go and play as a right back. That's what I'd be doing if I'm City. Find a way to make Trent have to go and be a right back, because we don't want Trent getting hold of the game, because we know what Trent can do. If he has the ability to start going forward and playing passes, we know what Trent can do. So push him back, get him on toast, get him on a card, get him with Doku running at him in the last 30 minutes. We have to look at that. We have to say, McAllister, last 30 minutes, is he going to be tired? Does he really know how to play with his... facing his own goal with his back to the rest of the pitch? We have to be pressing him.
There's a sub that'll have to be made in the game for Liverpool, where, because McAllister will start, we'll have to bring Endo on. The reason being, McAllister's just been in South America and played two games.
We're going to have to take him off.
I'm going to have to bring Endo on. And it'll be the same for a couple of other players on that pitch in general. So if you start Alvarez, for example.
I'd start Foden, personally, not Alvarez.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you should start Foden because he always plays shite against us. So please do. No, he's played well against you. No, I'm only joking. Yeah, no, I'm terrified of that kid. But
do you reckon they flew the same plane, by the way?
They do, yeah, because I've already read that on Sky, which is mad. There are all South Americans come back on one plane. awkward flight.
It makes sense, though, doesn't it? It does make sense to do that.
Yeah, it's cost effective, isn't it?
Well, I was thinking, I mean, Enzo's probably got his own fucking private jet, the amount he gets paid. But
oh, bloody hell. Yeah, Chelsea flying back separately. That wouldn't surprise me.
I just wanted to go to something Dap said before we move on, because we are going to do a lineup predictor as well. That's, we do like to do that with our guests, so get thinking of your team. Dap said, and he's spot on, there are question marks over this Liverpool team. And Mike, we know more than anyone, mate. Last season was a shambles. It was one of the worst seasons in the last 7 or 8 years. And we just wanted a comeback. We wanted a bounce back. And the bounce back has been good. It's been very good. We're second. Eight wins, 3 draws, 1 loss, 27 points, 1 point behind top. So in terms of that, it's been probably as good as it can be. No one's going to win 12 out of 12 wins as Liverpool of 18-19 or the City teams of years gone by or whatever. But this is it, isn't it? This is the big test. This is the game that we're looking at as Liverpool fans thinking, if we can go there and win, it's a big if, because like I said, we've not done it in 8 years, then that is one hell of a statement. That is, I think, pretty much answering all the doubts that Liverpool fans still might have. If we go there and lose, which let's pray it doesn't happen, then it might be okay. We could be there by the end of the season, but we might not be there yet. So it's just huge either way, isn't it? To find out where we are right now as a team.
Well, listen, I've been doing this pod since March, I think. And I said to you from the very start of this season, maybe even all the way through the window as well, I won't be saying we're in the title race until after the City game, until December. And I've been very vehement in that. So what you ain't seen, Daps, is every single time we do a podcast, Ben tries to pressure me week in, week out into saying we're in the title race. I've still not said it. I refuse to say it till after the City game, because this is the test. This is where we see, can Trent play that role in the biggest games? Can Nunes turn up in the biggest games properly for the biggest games? Don't throw what he scored against Madrid in my face, because he scored against Madrid and disappeared for 60 minutes. Don't give me that. Can he turn up in the biggest games away from home where our back's against it? What can you do? For me, as I say, I won't say anything about our team in terms of our progression until I see in the game. It's as simple as that. There's so much that I can't comment on until the big game's played.
I don't know. If I I think even if
it's about how you lose. If you lose, it's how you lose.
To be honest with you, I'd almost go further to say I wouldn't even care about that. Liverpool are in a title race. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with it.
What makes you say it? Because I'm reluctant to say it. So what makes you say it?
Because the know-how, right? The know-how. It's that simple. You've still got Klopp as your manager, right? He is still the second best manager in the Premier League. You've still got Alisson, best goalkeeper in the world. You've still got Van Dijk over the last 7-8 years, best Premier League, best defender in the Premier League. Now, I think there's other defenders that are getting up there with him, but if we're talking consistently over the season, now we're starting to go through your spine here, right? Salah, best forward player in the Premier League in the last 8 years. Trent, one of the best fullbacks. Yes, defensively not good, but one of the most creative players in the Premier League. And all of a sudden, there you've got, I've just listed 4 or 5 players. That's the spine, right? That's a spine that has won the league before. It's a spine that's won a Champions League before. They know how to do it. So for me, even if you go to the Etihad and lose, I wouldn't rule you out. You're in a title race. Like,
I'm going to be 4 points.
It's how you lose.
But even that, bro, it's the know-how. It's the fact that I say things, and it seems so mad when I say things this time of the season, right? But been there, done it. Got the T-shirt. Yeah, I know Tottenham. Tottenham can be top in December. I always remember when we played you in 2019 at the Etihad, the game we won 2-1, right? Going into that game, you were top, Tottenham was second, City were third. We had a game in hand on Tottenham. On TalkSport on the way home, they were doing this Liverpool City title race. Tottenham fan rang in and goes to Adrian Durham. This is so out of order. I get that City have got a game in hand on us, but why are you saying this is a Liverpool City title race when we're second? And Adrian Durham goes, okay, do you know what? I'm going to forget the fact that Manchester City have a game in hand over you. You're still not in the title race. This is Liverpool and Manchester City, because we know what Tottenham do, right? We get to that point. We know that with Tottenham. I look at Arsenal at the moment. I do think Arsenal are in a title race this season, but at the moment, Arsenal have not pushed it to the end.
I said before
the season started, in fact, I said in June when the last season ended, next season, dependent on Liverpool and Arsenal's transfer windows, I think it'll be City, Liverpool and or Arsenal. I think Arsenal are one injury away, one particular injury away from complete. If Rice picks up an injury, that's it. Yeah. That's it. They're gone, right?
I would say Saka as well. If Saka picks up one, then they're gone.
I think they can go without Saka, you know?
They don't have a goal scorer. That's it. Don't have a goal scorer.
I hear you, but, bro, defence is a beautiful thing. And, and their defence is looking good this season. Rice is looking unbelievable this season.
Unbelievable.
And I think he's a winner. Rice gets injured, I think it changes everything. But I'll just say, look, I could be wrong on last season, probably until it was mathematically not possible for you to get Champions League football, I was still saying Liverpool will come back and get Champions League football because I know what you lot are capable of. Same way you know what we're capable of. One of those with Liverpool that, for me, every season at this point, until Klopp goes and until those players I've listed have moved on or come of age, I'm still going to say Liverpool are in a title race because I think Liverpool and Klopp know what they're doing and sooner or later, they'll cook.
I'll tell you this, Dats. The reason I've not said we're in a title race yet, and to be clear, when we were last in a title race, I was all gung-ho straight away. I fully believed it. The only reason I don't believe it at the moment, or not that I don't believe it, but that I'm hesitant to say it, is because I look at City. That is a title winning side. That's a treble winning side. One of the best sides of the Premier League the world have ever seen, right? That's what you're up against. I don't think you're up against Arsenal. Like I say, I think they're a goal scorer short. I think they're an injury away from collapsing. United, no one even talks about. They're not even a Champions League race to me. Newcastle are barely in a Champions League race. Spurs are Spurs. I do think Spurs will collapse. But I also think that Spurs deserve a bit more respect than what they've got from the Premier League this season. I think they play some great football. I appreciate how they play. But they've only got 11 men. They don't have a bench. And now you're seeing that with all the injuries. You know,
I think that the thing is with Tottenham, though, it's very similar to I did a show in October last year with an Arsenal fan. And I was saying, do you know what? Every hurdle that you've had put in front of you so far, you've overcome. Starting from the Palace game, season before, you lost at Palace this season. And I was giving them loads of praise. And they were like, yeah, but you need to give us more respect because we're top of the league. And I was like, no, you need to earn it. Now, with Tottenham, I think we're all willing to say Tottenham have surprised us how good they've looked under Postecoglou. Listen, I know Arsenal fans don't like him. I'll banter the fact says, mate. But you know what? He does seem like
quite a nice, likeable bloke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that pisses our Arsenal fans off because Arteta, everyone doesn't like. So that just naturally they get rattled by the fact that you like someone and don't like Arteta, right?
Yeah.
But he's got them playing good football very quickly, right? Mm. And he's managed to rejuvenate a whole fan base, which I give credit for little things like that because that's a big deal. Like, he's got the fans back in. Like, it's so important having the fans in the atmosphere good at the ground. Like, we didn't win a Champions League till us as fans, game-going fans, believed we could win a Champions League, right? We didn't. Mm. And I witnessed it last season. I remember the Bayern Munich away game, walking to the ground thinking, fucking hell, we all believe now. We all looking at each other going, we're doing it, aren't we? And it was
different,
like, okay. Like, literally, it was like, okay, heritage. I get it. I get this heritage thing. Losing it by Real Madrid the season before taught me about heritage that listen sometimes with the know-how and the fans believing as well. The minute Real Madrid scored that first goal at the Bernabeu, the whole Real Madrid fan, the whole crowd knew they were going to go on and win, right? Same as when we scored our first goal against Villa, right?
We were all looking at each other
going, we're going on the pitch, aren't we? We still needed to score more, but we're still going, we're going on the pitch, aren't we? We've got this because the know-how of doing it. I look at Tottenham and I think you're doing great and we're willing to give you credit for that. But then you've got them really believing and they want to say it's different. I've seen Tottenham top at Christmas before and with a probably bigger squad than they have now. There's no coincidence. They've lost a couple of players and now look at them.
It's the history of Tottenham, isn't it?
History of Tottenham, but that's my mum's a Spurs fan, right? So unfortunately, my mum has witnessed this all. And as a Liverpool fan, all of my family are Liverpool fan. Mum's the only Spurs fan, right? I've witnessed Spurs cripple every season. It's delightful as a Liverpool fan. Yeah. I love it. Every year it's a little Christmas present for me. Yeah. You know, oh, look, Spurs have fell again. Great. It's going to happen this season, I agree. But I think the difference for me this season is probably the first time since Poch. Spurs have a clear identity. They've got a younger side that they're building. and they're playing exciting football, and it's not football that you can contain. I think Arsenal fans hate it because Arsenal fans can't deal with their biggest rivals playing arguably better football than them this season.
Spot on.
And that's what it is. And listen, there's no other teams in this title race for me. As I say, it is City. It's City's to lose for me because you're that good.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I said the other day when the Chelsea game, someone was saying, did City bottle it? And I said, well, for me, bottling it is where if you don't win, it has a major impact on something, right?
Mm.
That's a bottle job. That is what a bottle job is.
Okay.
If we're saying City dropping points to Chelsea is a bottle job, then I'll be honest with you, apart from Anfield, when we go Anfield, and apart from when we go to Tottenham's ground, we should win every single game. We should, right? So you could say any other game that City don't win, you could call a bottle job because we should win every game. Like, last season, we lost to Brentford. We lost to Brentford in both games. We dropped points on New Year's Eve to Everton. That's how football is. Like, will City drop more points this season? Absolutely. Will there be two big teams? Maybe not. They might end up being to Brentford away. They might end up being to
Everton away. Will drop points. Everton at Goodison Park, you'll drop points.
Rodri will step up with a hand. Rodri will step up with a hand.
How dare you? Yeah,
we did it for the good of football. We did it for the good of... They're cheats, bro. Everton are cheats.
Wait, no. Move on, Ben. Move on before I lose my head at that.
We speak nothing but facts, right? Everton are cheats, factually.
That is proven. Everton are cheats.
I'm not...
Liverpool proven cheats.
Oh, come on.
Okay, go on.
Pedro Chirivella.
Listen. Chelsea, with the hacking of our scouting system, you know, you paid a fine. You admitted, you settled and said, yeah, we owe you some money.
But we got punished for it.
Yeah, punished, rightly so. Same as Everton. And if we get found guilty, give us the punishment. Give us whatever the punishment is.
We're not going to touch on it much. We're not going to touch on it at all, right?
Because we still need to do team predictions, guys.
We'll go on team predictions, but it'd be wrong. I'd be remiss. It's the first time I get to speak to you, so I'd be remiss if I don't at least bring it up, right?
Yeah,
115 charges, right?
Yeah. Idiot.
Hypothetically, let's say, I mean, I was reading about it the other day. The majority of them are very similar. A lot of it is just a case because you're pushing it back year on year. Chances are, realistically, it's about 35, 40. How many get proven? Let's say 15. I'm just putting up random numbers, right?
And then it depends what they are.
In my opinion.
And then it depends what they are. 100% depends what they are, without a doubt. You will get punished for pushing it back no matter what because they see that as obstruction. So you get punished for obstruction.
If you go guilty, you usually get a lesser sentence than if you go not guilty. So yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So that'll be a fine, right? But if it's anything to do with, for example, the Mancini money, if that gets proven.
Still need to interview him, by the way.
But that boy has avoided the camera. So I can't believe it. It's been 4 years. Not a single question. But let's say something gets proven, right? When you've looked at Everton's punishment, right? As a fan, have you at least thought of the concept of going?
Yeah.
What's gone across you? What happened? Like, what were your thoughts? That is a genuine question.
Oh, so just so you know, the charges came out the morning after we lost to Tottenham, right?
Yeah.
I fell out with loads of mates. I was hanging out my ass. I didn't make it into work. I'm getting calls off of every single YouTube channel asking me to go on with the big news. I'm ignoring them all, thinking, what? We lost to Tottenham. That's not news. We lose every season, right? And it wasn't until midday someone said, check Sky Sports, and I was like, oh. And then I didn't do any streams because I was like, I can't, because people are going to ask me questions. I don't know. Look, for me, I am a football fan because it is from a kid, it's my release, right? And that's what football is to all of us. It's our release. When I was young, when Man United were the dominant team, no one spoke about any of this crap. None of it. Mm-hmm. It was about football, right? And that's the way it should be because we are football fans. Yes, I understand.
Fergie ran the FA, to be fair.
That used to be the ongoing.
Valid. Very, very valid. But ultimately, it's our release. And we're football fans. We go and watch the football. Now, football's changed and it's become business. Football is corrupt. Yeah. For me personally, I think every single football club and every single football owner. Like my mum and dad told me when I was young, if someone's got a lot of money, they've probably earned some of it illegally, right? And I look at this, and we've always had this thing that I truly do believe the Premier League has been owned by American clubs and Western. Let's not even say American. Let's just say Western, right? Okay. And it doesn't seem a coincidence that people from another part of the world want to get involved and they're not too happy with it, right? Now, that doesn't change that if there are rules and we broke the rules, we must be punished for it.
Okay.
But I do also think that things are being pushed, agendas are being pushed, and you know, we all know with what's going on in Palestine, right? We know that the Western media will push whatever agendas they want against other people, right? And naive people, or if it suits their personal beliefs.
Government-driven,
But even, do you know what, if you're from a certain part of the world, you're going to be like, I believe what the media are telling me because it suits what I want to believe. Whereas if you go and spend 2 minutes looking into it, you're like, hold on a minute, this don't seem right. And there's an element of this. But for me as a fan personally, if you're asking me, is the beauty is, despite my Southern accent, I lived in Manchester till I was 16 years old. Then I moved down south, right? I was a season ticket holder at Main Road. The most I ever celebrated at Main Road was Man United not winning the league and Blackburn winning the league, right? I grew up never expecting to win a, what would it have been called back then? Well, whatever it was called back.
Milk Cup.
Before that, Milk Cup, whatever. Yeah, I never dreamed of winning anything. Yeah. Like, you know, even... Worthington it would have been. Yeah, probably Worthington. I've never dreamed of winning any of that, right? So when we won our first FA Cup over Man United, I was saying, if our owners leave and we go back to being an average club, then thank you that I've actually been able to get involved in a conversation for a minute. Won't change what I do at the weekends. No, I'll still be going and meeting my mates in Manchester. I'll still be going to the game and enjoying the game because...
No, without
that. And do you know what? There's a weird side of it that it's a lot less stressful when you're always shit. But it's a lot less
stressful. True.
It's a lot less stressful. Right. As far as my pocket, I won't be spending
trips abroad.
Yeah. 15, 20 grand following the club to fucking Athens and back. And here's the thing. The best question I think I've been asked is, if we get found guilty of it and we get ultimately there's egg on our face, we will forever be referred to as cheats. But personally, you know, the amount of people that said to me, I don't care if City are found innocent, to me they're cheats, right?
So that's not right. That's where I
agree with you, bro. Like a perfect example, should Manchester City pay Benjamin Mendy his wages? Absolutely, he got found innocent, right? So pay him his wages, right?
Yeah.
Same with if we get found guilty, we must be punished, right? But if we get found innocent, we're still going to be called cheats anyway. So it's one of them ones where, but should the owners go? That is the question to City
fans. That would be the question that follows if you get
it. It's a very valid question. And initially, I was like, absolutely. But then I stop and think about it and go, hold on a second. Because of the owners, I have had some of the best memories I've ever had. Right.
You wouldn't want them to go, surely. Like from a love of the club standpoint, you wouldn't.
It's a hard one because you think, do you know what? You've maybe some of your decisions. And again, like you said about it's how Liverpool lose to City if they lose.
With it's this,
it's like the Super League. We pulled out very early doors, and there's not much that the owners have done, and they've changed my club forever. Right.
They've done wonders outside.
For the City of Manchester, they've done so much that I don't know if I would want them to go. If they don't go, guaranteed that City will be back within a season or two, and then we go again. And I don't know. But for me personally, you know what? As a content creator, it's going to be harder than your average City fan because I'm going to have to face it. You know, I'm going to have to face James Redmond telling me I must apologise for my club and all that. But for me as a fan, we just keep going. We're football fans, aren't we? And I've always said,
I like that.
You can't pick and choose. Like when United fans are like, oh, but you know what? Glazers, they're part of your club, right? Everything is part of your club. Mm. You support the club. And I get why you might not want owners, but it's not an excuse. And we have to stand there and go, yeah, do you know what? We're shamed, but we keep it moving as fans. We were there. In our 30,000s when we're in the third tier of English football, we'll be there again if need be.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I think sometimes the misconception, and we'll move on to predictions now. It's the longer side of the.
So last thing I would say though, final thing is you have to also look at things that are happening at City. So we've had the charges there since January. We got planning permission to extend our stadium and build a huge hotel outside the stadium. In July, and we've broke ground on it. Knowing we have these charges hanging over us, we have broke ground on a stadium, on a hotel to hold fans that come to the Etihad. Now, if we get relegated, I don't think we need that hotel. I don't think we need the... I don't think so. I think some of these things are indications that, you know, we've beat a lot of these charges in CAS before. So I look at it and go, do you know what? But then I look at Everton and think, there is relevance to that. I don't think Everton would have got that charge if it wasn't for City and Chelsea. That I think they're thinking, we must set a precedent. Right. So we'll move on, though. We'll move on. But
listen,
I'll
wrap up with this. I know we're going a bit long. I will say I've got a lot of respect for how you answered that. It's a wonderful answer, genuinely. As your fans, I wish your fans the best. If you are found guilty, whatever punishment comes. I do think they used Everton to make an example. And I think it almost felt to me the way they've used Everton. I don't think it was right how they used Everton, by the way. But I think they've used Everton almost like, this is what we've done to them. Imagine what we'll do to you.
United breached the same thing that Everton did. But whereas Everton did 20 million over, United did 50 million over, and United just got a slap on the wrist and a fine. So it does seem a bit weird. But that's the difference between UEFA punishing you and the Premier League.
Media darlings,
you.
Mate. That's yeah,
it's,
as well.
It's also the difference between how the big six are handled, which I think no matter what, we'd be remiss to act like that isn't different. Because it is different. Yeah. But all in all, mate, we'll see how it goes. But unfortunately, you are still here. and you're still very loud.
Because if it wasn't for them, mate, and everyone knows that we would be running away with these leagues every year, but it is what it is. Idiot also gave another super chat. Liverpool have the quality all around to push us. Klopp is good at man management. Klopp, though, needs to evolve at a faster rate of tactics. That is fair point. A lot of Liverpool fans would probably agree with you as well. I know that for certain. So thanks once again for your super chat, mate. Really appreciate that. We're just going to quickly blast through this and give score predictions.
I'm not going to do no score team. Prediction, by the way.
I genuinely don't do it.
I don't wear, I've got mad superstitions. When I do, it goes wrong.
I will do it, don't worry.
What formation you signed up?
So I would, in this game, I'd go with four at the back, and I'm not even inverting either. So I'd go with I'd go with Vardio.
Wait, is the left,
Edison in goal.
You'll be down as a centre back, probably.
Yeah, probably down as a centre back. Yeah, you're right.
Then there's Alvarez. Huh?
What's going on?
What is this website?
Oh, I mean, I'm not playing Alvarez in defence. Is this some Liverpool website where you
Edison's fit, isn't it?
So Edison's in.
Yeah. Let's see it again. Okay.
Do you want to refresh the page?
That's weird.
It's a bit of an odd one.
I'll try to find a different one if it.
Okay. You want to find a different one? We'll have a chat and you find a different one.
Or he can just say it, I guess.
Yeah. I'd be playing. Ake was so good last season, but he's just come back from an injury and he hasn't been as good as he was last season. So at the moment, I'd probably go Vardio, left back. And then I would go Diaz and Akanji, and then Walker right back. I really want to see Vardy or partner Diaz in a centre back pairing, but not against Liverpool, not first time. Yeah, so so I'd go Akanji Diaz partnership, and then Walker right. Then I would go with Rodri and Rico Lewis. Next to each other in midfield, and Bernardo Silva just in front of them in a kind of free role. And then I would go with Grealish wide left, Foden wide right, and Haaland through the middle, leaving Alvarez and Doku on the bench to come on as impact players if need be.
Okay.
Bad team, is it, Mike? Eh?
It's not bad, yeah.
Not a bad team, though.
I think our bench will be...
Thin
at the weekend. Yeah, I would imagine we'll have two goalkeepers on it but that depends if the players that Pep said are injured or not. Like,
I was going to say, and you're absolutely certain that Haaland will be fine and Rodri will be
fine.
And there's no score prediction, just one last push. No. Okay.
Any result prediction in terms of who's going to win?
I think City will win it.
That's a good question.
I think City will win it, but I just to go the predictions thing. I just for some reason that never ends up. Well,
I get it. I get that. I think the Liverpool one. Yeah, I thought you'd pick the team for me. I will say I'm going to go
it's just the obvious
more
ones, isn't it?
Yeah. The right centre back, I think, is going to be Konate.
I actually disagree.
I don't really. I know you think it's going to be massive, don't you?
Yeah, and I think Matic deserved it. I think he's been far better than Konaté this season.
I think he has as well. I've already had that that thought. I just thought he'd go with Konaté. But yeah, listen, you throw Matic in, I don't mind. Your midfield too, again, for me, it picks itself, mate. It's McAllister and it's Gravenberg. The reason for it, Jones hasn't played for the last 4 weeks. You can't play a player that's got no match fitness.
Yeah, I agree with that. If that's the only reason, though. Jones.
Yeah, that is the only reason. That is 100% the only reason.
Jones has been good. I think Jones is really underrated.
Unreal, mate. Yeah, and so good.
Very underappreciated. And then it's going to be, for me, it's going to be Diaz and Nunes, even though Jota's our third top goal scorer. And that's going to be with Jota, Elliot, Gakpo to come off the bench, because I think we're going to be chasing a goal. I think this game is going to end 3-2. I think it's going to be a ridiculous game of football that we're going to witness on Saturday.
I have this weird and mad feeling. I want Nunes to start. He's one of my favourite players.
You think it's going
to
be Gakpo, don't you?
I've got a feeling it's going to go Gakpo. I just feel like for that control and almost like that, he's nowhere near as good as prime Bobby at the minute, but that sort of Bobby Firmino role, which when we had success
last season, he was good at it. Yeah.
He was crucial to getting the result against Man City. I think Nunes, Daps was saying a bit earlier on, once the game hopefully stretches a bit, if we're still in the game, 60th minute, I've got a feeling he will bring Nunes on then. I would still start Nunes because I think City, we've seen they can be got at. But yeah, I've just got a weird feeling that he's going to start Gakpo. But for me, I don't think there'll be that many goals. I'm going to back Liverpool to win because I never would back anything else. But I'm going to say 2-1.
The reason I'd start Nunes, by the way, is because I think that both sides are going to play with a high line. I think when City are in transition, they almost have two centre-backs, right?
Yeah.
They almost just have two players there and the rest are forward. If we catch them in the middle of the park, which won't happen often because they're far too tidy on the ball, but if we do nick the ball and Nunes bombs in behind those centre-halves, I don't care how fast those lads are, he will cause problems. Yeah. And also, I think, I don't know, I just feel like he'd cause an absolute anarchy. I don't know why. You know what I mean?
I hear it.
Captain Chaos.
But also, you know what? But I also think Jota plays well against us. I get super what you're saying about Gakpo, 100%. So that's the thing.
Look, interesting game.
I think just on that, that's probably why you can't.
5-1 City.
Super City. Come
that.
On.
I'm having that as well.
You're not rated. Mike, you know what, though? I'm all for it. If people
underdogs.
Don't want to...
Underdogs.
That's what I want, man. You got these Liverpool fans that are like, oh, this underdog mentality is terrible. We've always been the underdog. There's never been a Premier League season. Maybe once, I guess, over the last few years. In fact, I don't think we were ever favourites before a ball was kicked, ever. While City have been City.
After we won the league.
Not in the league.
I don't think we were.
No, it's look, for me, it's the know-how. I've said it this season. I look at the fact that Liverpool aren't in the Champions League because I look at the Champions League now, go, we've got over the hurdle of winning it. We know how to do that
and
now.
The next one will come, yeah.
Real Madrid got over that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern got over that hurdle. All the things that in the past have haunted us in the Champions League, and Liverpool are not in the Champions League this season because that's another one. For me, Liverpool in the Champions League, I fear far more than Liverpool in the league because it's just
too large.
I've seen you in my lifetime win more Champions Leagues than I have seen you win leagues. So my thing is, you know how to win Champions Leagues. It's what you do. But leagues, but yeah, great show, man.
Brilliant show, man.
Thank you for me falling over.
No, that was brilliant. Me and Mike.
We got to clip that, bro. You got to hear the noise that came out. I swear.
Big up to Daps. You brought a lot of people over to our channel tonight. Massive appreciation.
Thanks for having me. And honestly, I've looked forward to doing this one because sometimes when you do previews for shows with panels and the panels aren't just City,
they start screaming.
It turns into, especially I get rattled really easily and lose my temper.
We have tried to stay away from that, yeah.
We don't really understand.
When it's one on ones, you can be respectful about each other's teams and have proper football conversations without becoming shameless. Like,
we try and invite the right people, for sure. That's why
keep up the great work with what you're doing for Liverpool. Keep me entertained. I'm looking forward to see who you might buy in January.
We'll take Phillips on loan by the sounds of it.
And more so, the stuff you're doing for Palestine. Keep up the great work,
Thank you, mate. Appreciate that. I was about to say we could have got Hamza on this stream, but it would have been a completely different podcast. So.
I love him to bits, but listen, sometimes I have to say, bro, what are you doing? Like, you just I love him to bits.
Yeah, and City, Super City, oh, this is the thing, like, there will be a lot of that, of course, and a lot of it is banter. A lot, the part of me does want that title from 13-14. Part of me does want Stevie G to be a Premier League winner. But at the end of the day, like Daps has said, you guys are football fans. You've not really done anything wrong. You just supported your club, which you support from before the money. So I guess from that sense, you know, we do kind of have to see it from a football perspective.
Yeah.
But, I'm not going to wish you any luck, Daps. You don't need luck. You've got an amazing team, one of the best managers of all time. So you should be okay. But guys, me and Mike will be here Saturday evening to discuss whatever happens in the game, whether we win.
City fans, you're more than welcome.
Whatever happens.
They'll be here if we win. I know we'll be here.
Yeah, turn your notifications on if you subscribe today, and we will see you guys after the game. Take care and have a lovely weekend.
Sports Social Podcast Network.